Blog Talk Radio.
Of the true Israelites with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's radio, bottom part of the Sabbath day. Worldwide international radio broadcast, bottom part of the Sabbath day. All six locations is ready to receive you. And all you got to do is call the international line. We'll see where you're located at and see how close you are to one of the six anointed camps or bosses of the true Israelites. Call for details, 224-600-5579. And we will hook you up on the closest camp to bosses of the true Israelites, but you can get in where you've been in at and do the Almighty's will. How that sound?
We got a word called G-O-D in this English Bible. So what's that really mean? Now, put the word G-O-D on your table, on your computer, on your computer out there, and just point it out. They'll tell you the word comes from somebody else. Go ahead. G-O-D. Yeah. Israelite.
To you.
that International Biblical Bible teacher, the teacher of teachers, Brother A. Tonight, host of the Office of the True Israelites, Brother A. Taylor.
Apache 1.3.37 server at www
www.kessler.com 480. The ancient and honored name of Yahweh. The very oldest scripture text ever found, dating back to almost 2,600 years, was found in a tiny silver amulet which contains a 7th century B.C. extract from the Book of Numbers, 6:24-26. The priestly Aaronic blessing. The rolled-up amulet was part of a treasure hoard found by a Tel Aviv University archaeologist in a post-temple period family tomb in Jerusalem, Israel. When this amulet was written, the Temple of Solomon still stood. The heir of King Dawit still ruled on the throne, and the Dead Sea Scrolls would not be written for another 400 years. It was 3 years after this discovery before this fragile amulet could be unrolled by technical experts at the Israel Museum. On this amulet, the name of YHWH could be clearly read. Complete details of this magnificent find could be read in 628-86 and 89-86 issue of the Jerusalem Post and the 687 issue of the Reader's Digest. The undeniable name Yahweh. There is no doubt that the true name of our Creator Yahweh. In fact, the evidence is overwhelming. The New Catholic Encyclopedia, 1967, Volume 5, page 743, and Volume 14, page 1065. Yahweh, the original pronunciation of which is well attested, as Yahweh judges from Greek transcriptions. The sacred name of Yahweh, Unger's Bible Dictionary, Mayor F. Unger, 1957, Moody Press, Chicago, page 1177.
So what you got there, as we let you know, is that we use the name, what is the name in the text, which is Yahweh. And a lot of times, you just got to figure out what's the way we use that name. That is the name that was in the text that the camera's got.
Okay, strictly speaking, Yahweh is the only name of Yahweh. In Genesis, whenever the word Shem name is associated with a divine being, that name is Yahweh. When Abraham or Isaac built an altar, he called on the name of Yahweh. In particular, Yahweh was the Yahweh of the patriarchs. And we read of Yahweh, the Yahweh of Abraham, and then of Isaac, and finally, Yahweh, the Yahweh of Abraham, and the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Israel. Concerning which Elohim says, this is my name forever. Yahweh, therefore, in contrast to Elohim, is a proper noun, the name of a person, though that person is divine. As such, it has its own ideological setting. It presents Yahweh as a person, and so brings him into relationship with other human personalities. It brings Yahweh near to man, and he speaks to the patriarch as one friend to another.
So we find out that the name is in the text. All you have to do is find it. It is in the text. But you got that brother there,
The mystery of the barren amulet. The silver amulet date in Solomon's time prior to Babylonian captivity was found in cave 25 in Palo Shemek Yahweh. YHW, three times as far. YHW, bless you, keep you. YHW, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. YHW, lift up his confidence upon you and grant you peace.
So we find out the name was found at Solomon's temple. What you got there, Sister Karen?
Unknown. The word G-O-D is a relatively new European invention which was never used in any of the ancient Judeo-Christian scripture manuscripts that were written in Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, or Latin.
So the word G-O-D, that's the new word for the name. Go ahead and read.
According to the best efforts of linguists and researchers, the root present word G-O-D is a Sanskrit word for H-U, which means to call upon, invoke, or implore.
So the word G-O-D is a new name invented by the Europeans. What you got there, Priscilla?
There are no vowels in the Semitic letters of the sacred name YHWH, Yahweh. So how can you know how to pronounce it correctly? The Semitic alphabet had no vowels, but it was essential for intelligibility that the Greek alphabet should have them. This it did by using Semitic letters which represented sounds unknown to the Greeks. Semitic Yod, or Yod, stood for the semi-vowel Y, and it's easy to use in Greek for the related vowel I.
So we found out again that when you use the name Yahweh, that's the proper name. But these other names that have been added, we try to, before we get into the lesson, we just, because a lot of callers have been telling us, ask us, why do we use Yahweh? We let you know that's the only name that was in the text. And all other names is added, it's got its kind.
Today, our word theology, meaning the study of G-O-D, comes from field, the root word of field. It would be difficult to call the Almighty the deity, particularly in our culture. People will most likely always call the Creator by the term G-O-D, even though this word is in no manner associated with Scripture.
So the word G-O-D is nowhere in the manuscript. The word God is a new European invention. What you got there, Brother Johnson? What you got?
One thing that is clear, that the name is not the Lord.
Yes.
This title is substituted for the name almost 7,000 times in the most English translation of the Israelite scripture. In other words, Yahweh is removed 7,000 times and the Lord is added 7,000 times.
Yes.
This manipulation, no matter how well intended, has to clear desire of Yahweh for the people to call on his name.
So you're not calling the name because somebody removed the name. So you remove the name and put the word Kyrios and Theos, and from that you get the word Lord God and the good Jesus. So all we try to do is save our life. That's what you're looking for in salvation. But we are born and it's really in our life. And our job is to teach you what you need to know. It's got that brother AJ.
This person's name written with the consonants YHWH was considered too sacred to utter. So the vowels for the word of my Lord of God were added to the consonants YHWH. And the reader was warned by these vowels that he must substitute other consonants. This change having to be made so frequent, the rabbi did not consider it necessary to put in the consonants of the new reading in the margin, YHWH, was read with the intrude vowels, the vowels of an entire different word, namely my Lord of God. In late medieval times, this mispronunciation became current as Jehovah, and it was unwittingly taken over as Jehovah by the reformers in the Protestant Bible.
So what they did, go behind all that. You end up with the word called the Lord God and the Jesus and the Jehovah. That's what happened to you once they took out the original name. But we read one more, then we'll get you some text to show you what else they did to you. The five else they did.
Jesus is pure Latin. Add on the 18th century new letter J and you get Jitsu. Jitsu in the Latin, you see it Jesuit and Jesus. The S on the end of added for Greek syntax, the Roman Catholic Church and all her daughters. The Harlem churches use the name Jesus, which is their mantra.
So the word Jesus comes from the Catholic Church. It's got that, Brother Johnson.
I got the Israelite letters of Yahweh by reprinting pictures out of the book written by those with familiar spirits. Mr. G.R. DeBeta wants to keep the Roman Catholic Church tradition of Jehovah, Jesuits, and Jesus. The Trinity is Roman Catholic, which is together with baptism in the slogan, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Yahweh. Well, Jesus is the official English Roman Catholic Church name for their son, God.
So when you call on the good Jesus, remember, you call on a son God from the Catholic Church. Now, let's see what it is in English. English, yeah. English, Lord God, the Metatron, YHWH, pronounce it. Yahweh. Oh, so Yahweh. Four letters. And we're going to go to Sister Karen and find out one thing with Sister Karen's name.
Okay. Over the years, this discomfort with the divine name continued. Soon people would not pronounce Yahweh at all. Whenever they saw Yahweh in the Bible, they would either say the name Hashem or the Lord Adonai.
So the word Hashem means Yahweh. So we're going to find out who is Hashem too. We're going to take a look at that. So we know even Hashem means Yahweh. Now, we're moving on. That's good enough.
Okay.
Let's take a look at let's start off in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. And let's see what that says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. I think we'll start off with 2 Timothy 2, 19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh standeth sure, having these seals. Yahweh knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that name the name of Yahweh the Son depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
So we find out again in 2 Timothy 2:19. Let them all call on the name, huh?
Yes.
Well, we'll find out what name he wants. He said he knows who's here, because who's here is going to call on the name. And Brother Johnson read that whenever you see the word Lord God, it means Yahweh. Okay, let's go to Matthew 25, and we're going to look at something in Matthew 25. Back there with Brother Johnson in the 10th chapter of Luke. Let's go to Matthew 25 just for a minute. Let's see what we got in Matthew 25:37. Let's see what that says.
Listen to A.B. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Yahweh.
Stop right there. See, the righteous is going to use the name. And we just read again in Timothy 2:19, he knows who is here because he is going to use the name. And the righteous is going to use their name. So once you find out the name, you're going to do the research and you're going to use their name. And we're going to show you exactly where the word Christ came from by Brother A. Taylor. You're going to find out exactly the reason, exactly where you see it. We don't know where the word Christ come from. Because we know they said, well, we see the word Christ there. That's where that come from.
The other green also comes from Greek word Christ. Christ Christos.
Stop right there. And when you see the word Christ in your Bible, it's coming from Christos. Come on.
Christos is the Greek equivalent of the Semitic Messiah, meaning anointed.
So it means the anointed. But let's find out who is the anointed. Good enough. Let's find out who is the anointed by our father, Brother Johnson. We'll go all the way to Psalms chapter 2. Let's find out do the anointed have a name. Because that's a title. We want to know if it's prophesied about a name for the anointed. We go on to Psalms chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 1. We're going to find out who is this one called the anointed. 2:1, what it say?
Why do the goings rage?
Yes.
And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying,
against Yahweh and his anointed. Okay, so we got Yahweh and his anointed. So the anointed is anointed by Yahweh the Father. Let's see what it says in verse number 7 by the Father.
I will declare the decree.
Yes.
Yahweh has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.
Oh, so we find out it was a day that the son was begot by the Father. But the anointed one is the one that is now known as, let's see, Brother Angel, let's go to St. John 5:43. Who is this anointed one? And let's see what he say out his own mouth in St. John 5:43. What do he say?
St. John 5:43. I come in my Father's name.
And when I came in my Father's name. 17, Brother A. Taylor of St. John, let's see what if about what you just saying. 17, verse number 1, what's going on in 17:1?
St. John 17:1. These words spake Yahweh the Son and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee.
Yes. Go ahead.
And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true Yahweh the Father, and Yahweh the Son, whom thou hast sent.
Yes, so the Son said he was sent, that he come in the Father's name. Come on, read some more.
I have glorified thee on the earth.
He said, look, Daddy, I have glorified you on the earth. Come on.
I have finished the work which thou gave me to do.
And I finished the work that you gave me to do. Come on.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
He's all around in 40 years of the world. Glorify me what I had with you before the world was.
Great. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Then thou wert, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word.
So, Sister Karen Abbey 3:17 on St. John Wayne, but look what he's saying here. He said, while I was in this world, I glorified thee, and I kept him in your name.
Verse 11, let it say.
Verse 11.
And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
So then I kept him in the name when I was with them. Get down to the first. Matter of fact, that read clear make it sound good.
12. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name
every day. And when I was here, I kept them in your name. Verse 26, what it say?
And I have declared unto them thy name,
and what I declared unto them was your name. So we talking name here. Sister Karen, 3:17, St. John, what it says.
And you see, so Yahweh sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Right.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
Right.
Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of Yahweh.
Wait a minute. You is condemned already if you don't believe in the what?
The name.
The name. So it's so important for you to know the name. He said, read that again.
So Yahweh sent not his son into the world to condemn the world,
yes,
but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of Yahweh.
And he said he come in the Father's name. So if you ain't got the name right, you condemned already if you don't have the name.
Right.
So this man is letting you know you got to have the name. So let's back up to St. John. We go to St. John chapter 1,
back up with Brother A. Taylor in 1 John, all the way in the back of the book, chapter 5. We want to find out, see, the reason why we kind of, listen, if you don't have the address, if you don't have the name to where you're trying to deliver something, how you going to make it work? You got to have a name. Let me say this in St. John chapter 1, beginning of verse number 12, what it says.
St. John 1:12.
Give me that microphone.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh.
Yes.
Even to them that believe on his name.
Oh, so he's telling you, you got to believe on the name. And we just read that the word Lord God and Jesus is a European new invention. Everywhere you find any discovery, they have the name. And for the name, we're going to read an article that's from the Jehovah's Witness. They went out there and done a little researching. And they come up with something. And before this program on with, we're going to let you know what they come up with. So the name is very important. Brother Johnson, why? Acts 4:12. Why the name is so important? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Why is the name so important?
It is, there is salvation in any other.
Yes.
For there is none other name under heaven given us among men whereby we must be saved.
But that's the only name going to get you saved. It's the name. So if you're not using the name and we identify that the name that you're calling on is going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire, and our job is to bring this to the table. And you can take it away if you want to take it. But we are fellas.
That's
I mean, right. But you just get to get it. We are going to
and we are live at the temple on Camp 1. All six locations is ready to go. Call in for details, 224-600-5579. Live broadcast in section Camp 1, 23456.
Forgetful hearer. but a doer of the work. His man shall be glad in his deeds. James chapter 1, verse 25.
And drop another precept in there. 548. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Matthew there.
Corinthians,
1
Corinthians.
All right, Matthew 548.
That was James chapter 1, verse 25 we read.
Okay.
Going to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. On this perfect,
yeah. That's right.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 48.
All right,
okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
First job, working as an intern with Will Smith.
Yes.
You say to them, look, for your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith.
Yes.
You say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
That's a billionaire.
Be knowledge he got came from Satan himself.
Alright. Alright. Now let me add a little bit more to this. Now we're gonna go. I was looking for something to do around me, but since I can't find it, I'll tell you right now. Okay, Sister Bia, we're going to the James chapter 1. And let's pick it up there. What verse he says, Sister Bia?
It says 17.
That's right. Bring it on out. Now this is going to be a question for the class after she reads it. Since we know what perfect is, let's see if we catch on with this one right here. What did he say?
James chapter 1, verse 17.
That's right.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Mm-hmm.
And cometh down from the Father of light,
mm-hmm.
with whom is no virtue
therein.
Variableness. Neither shadow of turning.
Okay, so he said in James chapter 1, verse 17, he said, every good gift, you dealt with that earlier too, right? And every perfect gift is from above, right?
Right.
And you're coming down from the Father of light. So what is this? What is this perfect? What is the biblical definition of perfect?
119.
What is it? We read it already.
It's pure.
But what
every good
is
it? Gift.
But what is this gift he's talking about? What is the gift he's talking about? Remember, he said every perfect gift. So what is this perfect?
Every good gift.
We just got done reading what the biblical definition of perfect is what?
The gift from above.
But what is perfect, though?
Perfect is a gift.
What is perfect? We just got done reading. Psalms 19, verse 7.
Right.
What do you think perfect is? Read that again. Right. Sister Judith. Yeah, we're going to read it one more time. And here we go to see what he's talking about. What is his purpose?
Psalms chapter 19, verse 7 reads, the law of the Yahweh is perfect.
So what is perfect?
The law.
The law is perfect. So now let's go back and let's read James. Let's tie it all in. James chapter 1, verse 17.
James chapter 1, verse 17 reads, every good gift and every perfect gift from above.
Stop right there. So what is his purpose?
The law.
And what he considered?
The gift.
It's a gift. So if you're looking for a gift, you know you got to keep the what?
The law.
And where it come from?
From above.
So we know that the law comes from above, but it's also is a gift. Mm-hmm. So anybody looking for a gift, just keep the law. If you might want to be perfect, keep the law. See, once you know your precept, you remember, go to go to Psalms, give me 119, verse 4, and verse 104.
I'm all ears. I'm hearing everything you're saying, young man. Brother D.F. Israel.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to Psalms 119, and we're going to pick it up at verse 4 and verse 104. Take your time, Sister Judy, bring it out for the national audience. And make sure they hear this real carefully, because Psalms 119 and verse 4 and 104 give us some key pointers right there.
Psalms chapter 119, verse 4 and verse 104. Verse 4 reads, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently.
So it's a commandment is keep what?
The precepts.
Okay. Continue to read.
Verse 104 reads, through thy precepts, I get understanding.
How do you get understanding?
Through the precepts.
So we just precept our Bible, and that's how we get understanding of James chapter 1, verse 17. And if you're not precepting your Bible, what do you finish reading? What do you say?
Thou hast commanded Therefore, I hate every false way.
So if you're not precepting your Bible, what, and outside of Yahuwah, what is it?
It's a false way.
It's a false way, Mother Jesus. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. So it's a false way if you're not precepting your Bible. He said through his precepts, you get understand. So we look at them reading the precepts, knowing that the law is, that the perfect is the law. Now when you read James chapter 1, verse 17, you keep that in your mind. Now every time you look at it, you say, oh, I know my gift. My gift was the law. The gift was given to us. It's the law. So if you want a gift, you're looking for a gift, keep the law. It's already given to you. We got that? Alright, it's simple. Once you got the understanding from your precept, you tag it in. Why we precept our Bible, Sister Judy? Why we precept our Bible? That we can read. We're going to Isaiah chapter 28. Mm-hmm. And we're going to pick it up at verse. Give me verse number 9.
Turn the light on, young man. Turn that light on.
Why do we precept our Bible?
We live at camp 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
6, yes, ma'am.
All the details.
Why do we precept our Bible?
Why do we precept our Bible? Why? Just to make
us
heard. Why do we do it? That's what the Bible
say
about it.
Hallelujah. Well, all right, Sister Jude. We're going to Isaiah chapter 28, and what we read?
Verse 9.
How about Brother Sykes? That's a better half.
10 and 13.
Where are we going, Brother Sykes?
Isaiah chapter 28, verses 10 and 13. Verse 10 reads, for precept must be upon precept.
Mm-hmm.
Precept upon precept.
Mm-hmm.
Line upon line.
Mm-hmm.
Line upon line. Here a little. And there a little.
Now I'm going to ask a question to the class. Why we precept our Bible?
You don't understand.
And what he said, but the question is now is that why we precept our Bible? We know we get understanding, but what he's saying, and remember, in verse 4, Psalms 119, verse 4, he said, I command you. You remember reading that? To keep thy precepts.
Yeah.
Now, what do you say in 28 verse 10?
Big word in 28 verse 10. I'm
looking for one word out of there.
What's that big word in 28 verse 10?
It's
a big old word.
Read it again, Sister Judy.
Isaiah chapter 28.
And when you see that big word, say it with some boldness. As soon as you see that word, let it emphasize that word. Make it strong, that big word. And read verse number 10.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10 reads, for precept must be upon precept. Must be.
What is it supposed to be?
Must.
It must be. Ain't no can it be, do it have to be, should we be precepts in our Bible? Remember, he commanded us to precept our Bible, right? So it must be upon precept.
Must be. That when we know what you made of.
Hallelujah.
You must precept your Bible. That's 300 years after David had a said from his fear. So Isaiah pulled that from David, saying that if you understand this Bible, to get a correct understanding, what you got to do again, Moses?
Must precept your Bible.
Keep that in your memory.
So if anybody tell me for you it ain't precepting your Bible, you know it ain't, it's not of Yahuwah.
That's right.
You do not have the method, because you must precept.
Hallelujah, boy. You got it? Read verse 13, Sister Judy.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 13 reads, but the word of the Yahuwah was unto them precept, upon precept.
So the word of Yahuwah was upon voices of the true Israelite, the 12 tribes of Israel that's listening in, precept upon precept. Continue to read.
Precept upon precept.
Mm-hmm.
Line upon line.
It's upon line upon line.
Line upon line.
Because it must be done this way. Continue to read.
Hear a little.
You'll get a hear a little. We just got done reading Psalms 119, verse 4, verse 104. Now we're coming over here and getting the order of things in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10 and verse 13. So we line upon line. Here a little. And what?
And there a little.
And we got a little bit there.
That they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken.
Hallelujah. What? So we must precept our Bible. So that's how we get our understanding.
So if you want to draw them back and let them be taken, then you do what Yahweh tells you to. If you want to come in and intervene, get them wars me off of you, just do what the man telling you to. And they're going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be snared and taken.
Mm-hmm.
If they turn, once we in order.
Hallelujah. Well,
back to the young line.
Mm-hmm. I want to, before I hand it right back to you, Brother Titus, some of my mind out, the elder read something. I want to go back. He was touching on his evil spirits that are good and evil, but I want to go back and I want to touch on something real quick, flash on my mind. Somebody go back to, where was that? Second Kings with old, was that First Kings? What was that? 22, First Kings 22? Jehoshaphat, right?
Oh, that's correct.
Okay. Let's go and find out what was going on with, let's read that one more time. I like that. That was real good. Let's go back and read that one more time, Brother Ty.
First Kings 22.
Mm-hmm. And pick it up at verse number, I want to get right to the point. Let's pick it up at verse number 7 and read down until we get our point.
Okay. All right, First Kings. Going to First Kings chapter 22, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
The book of First Kings chapter 22, verse 7 reads, "And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a seed of Yahuwah besides that we might require of him?"
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man."
Hold on, let me see. So I need to bag it up a little bit. No, let's bag it up. Hold on. I'm looking for, let's bag it up a little bit more when he said, when they all came to him. No, finish reading right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm in the middle of verse 8. First Kings chapter 22, verse 8. "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of, help me out. It's Elah.
Mm-hmm.
"By whom we may inquire of Yahuwah. But I hate him, for he do not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so." Verse 9. "Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Elah. Verse 10. "And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each one on his throne, having put on their garments. And a boy played in the entrance of the gate of Samaria."
Mm-hmm. Now drop down, give me verse number 13, 14, then skip down, give me verse 19.
Okay. First Kings chapter 22, verse 13, 14, and verse 19. First Kings chapter 22, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
"And the messenger was gone to call, Micaiah spake unto him, saying,"
what he said,
"behold now, the words of the seer declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let your word, I pray you, be like the word of one of them."
Now go back and read that again. Verse 13.
In that case,
yeah.
That's okay. Not tricky right there.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, let me read that for you.
I'm trying to get it in. Now, you have to be understand when there's something tricky going on,
mm-hmm.
Now you got to bring in the poke, the shepherd,
mm-hmm.
the pastor, the deacon. Now you got to bring in, because right now something ain't on the up and up here. So they said 400
They were saying everything that the king wanted. Mm-hmm. So you know something ain't right with that.
Let's
pick
that back up one more time.
All right, I'm going to pick it up at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 12.
Mm-hmm. Now, we read 13.
13?
Yeah, let's pick it up
13.
That's where you were.
Verse 13. It's a messenger that was going to call Micaiah, spake unto him, saying.
Micaiah is sealed right now. Remember, he said that now is sealed of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
So Micaiah said, what did he say to him?
Spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the shepherds.
That's right.
Pastors, bishops, deacons, and the Pope.
That's right.
Declare good unto the king with one mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Let your word, I pray you, be like the word of one of them,
mm-hmm.
and speak that which is good.
And we already know what the biblical definition of good, so if he wanted to speak that is good, we know he got to do Romans chapter 7, verse number 12, verse 16.
That's
keeping the laws. That's the laws of Yahuwah, right? He don't know what he's saying on his own mouth. He's talking to time himself.
Some good line. Eh?
Well, he wants some good line.
Y'all got to keep this. These kings have to do some good line.
Yeah, he want to do some good line.
That's what he wants.
Yeah, but he's talking to the citizen. He ain't going to do none of that. He saying, hey, man, speaking. Okay, so he's been speaking to him what's good. But what he said in verse 14? Yeah, he's supposed to say. What are you saying, verse 14?
First Kings chapter 22, verse 14. Read.
Yeah, bring it out.
And Micaiah said.
What did he say?
As Yahuwah liveth.
As Yahuwah liveth.
What Yahuwah said unto me, that will I speak.
And what are you going to speak?
What Yahuwah said unto him.
I need to hear a little bit more bold. What are you going to speak?
What Yahuwah said unto me. That I will speak.
So he going to speak what Yahuwah said. Verse 19.
Verse 19. And he said, hear therefore the word of Yahuwah. I saw Yahuwah sitting on his throne.
Mm-hmm.
And all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Verse 20. You going?
Continue reading.
Verse 20. And Yahuwah said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall to Ramah Gilead?
That's right.
What does that mean? Y'all mind? What does that mean, Charlie? What does that mean? Go up and fall.
Go up and fall.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know.
That means go up and die. I'm going to kill you.
Yahweh, I have not sent you, but you made this people
to trust in the lie. Verse 16. Therefore, thus said Yahweh, behold, I will cast you from off the face of the earth this year. You should die because you have taught rebellion against Yahweh.
So the fall means you will do what?
Die. He's going to kill you.
Go ahead, read.
Verse 17. So Ananias, the shepherd, bishop, pastor, deacon, the pope, died the same year in the seventh month.
Yeah, well. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to where you was at, Brother Tyson.
All right, go back to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22.
You better read up on that verse.
Let me get one more in now, man. Let me get one more in now. I'll go to Ezekiel 18, 30-32. Brother Tyson? Ezekiel
18, verse 30, down to verse 32. All right, we're going to Ezekiel, see it, 18 chapter, verse 30 to 32. The book of Ezekiel, see it, chapter 18, verse 30 to 32. Ezekiel, see it, chapter 18, verse 30 reads. Therefore, I will judge you, O family of Israel, everyone according to his ways, said Yahweh. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity should not be your ruin.
Iniquity your what?
Ruin.
Go ahead.
31. Cast away from all your transgressions. Thereby we have transgressed and made you a new mind and a new spirit. But why will you die, O family of Israel?
So if you keep
saying
against Yahweh,
what will happen to you? On that.
Go ahead and read.
Verse 32. For I have no pleasure in death of him that dieth, said Yahweh. Wherefore, turn yourself and live you.
Turn yourself and live. Stop lying. Stop saying against him. Turn yourself and live. Back to the young man.
All right.
Yahweh.
Right, back to that 1 Kings 22.
Yeah.
Is that verse 10?
Yeah, verse 2. That verse 20.
Verse 20. Oh, okay. 1 Kings 22, 20.
That's right.
1 Kings chapter 22.
It's flat that much.
Verse 20. And Yahweh said, who should persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall, die, and Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21, there came forth a spirit that stood before Yahweh and said.
There came forth a spirit that stood before Yahweh and said, what did he say?
I will persuade him.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 22.
Verse 22, what did he say?
And Yahweh said unto him, wherewith he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit.
He said,
"Go be a what? A lion spirit in the mouth of all his shepherds, pastors, deacons, bishops, the pope."
That's right.
And he said, "You should persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so."
23.
Now, therefore, behold, Yahweh had put a lion spirit in the mouth of all these shepherds, pastors, bishops, deacons, pope. And Yahweh has spoken evil concerning you.
Now Yahweh done all that.
Yeah.
But let's see what he had to say today, Bill. Because we know Yahweh had done all that, right?
Yeah.
So this is Yahweh's doing, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So, and we know it's Psalms 118, verse 23. We got to go read it, but it's marvelous in our sight. But let's see what he had to say. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 45, today, Bill. And let's read verse number 7. Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 7. And remember, he sent the Spirit, right? Okay. Let's read Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 7. And then, Sister Judah, I want you to have us to rock chapter 39. Give me verse, pick it up at verse 28. We're going to read down until we get our point.
And then Mother Eve, give me Mother Eve, write this down. Give me Exodus 23. I'm on verse 20 down and verse 22. And then we'll come back after Mother Eve. And we see how it takes.
23, 20 to 22.
Yes, ma'am. 23, 20 to 22.
All right, Psalm 118.
We're going to, no. That we don't have to read that. We just know it's marvelous in our sight.
Okay.
You know, when we read that Psalms 118, 23, we know what that is.
Okay.
So that line, spirit of my sin, take care of that business against, who's that, Ahaz?
Mm-hmm.
We know that was marvelous in our sight. But let's see what he got to say in Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 7. How about that?
Okay.
Let's see what we're reading over here.
Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
I formed the light and created darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I made peace and created evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things.
So what Yahweh does? What's the things he does?
He created all these things.
What was he creating?
The light,
mm-hmm.
the darkness, peace, and evil.
And he created what?
He created evil.
Oh, so Yahweh do all these things, right?
Right.
We already said we know the Psalms 118, verse 23 is marvelous in our sight, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and he sent the spirit to be a lying spirit in that sight, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, Sister Judith, right? It's on you, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's see what he had to say. When he say he got these spirits and he sent them, and what they sit around and they do in Sirach chapter 39, and let's pick it up at verse number 28.
Sirach chapter 39, verse 28 reads, there be spirits that are turned into evil.
There be spirits that are what?
Turn into evil.
No, read that again. Read that real slowly, Sister Judith. Bring that on home, man. We got to make sure the national audience see that real carefully. We need to rock chapter 39. Pick it up at verse 28. And pick that up one more time. You read the top line. It's right on top of it. Y'all, come down one line. You touching on something, Sister.
Chapter
39,
verse
28. Take your time and pull it out because we need a home run.
There be spirits that are created for vengeance.
So there be spirits that are created for what?
Vengeance.
So this spirit that stepped up and said, I be a lion spirit. Mm-hmm. What spirit he was? But what did he say he was? They was created for what?
Vengeance.
So this is spirit that was created for vengeance, right?
Yeah.
I continue to read.
Which in their fury lay on sore
strokes. Oh, so they lay on sore strokes.
Mm-hmm. In the time of destruction, they pour out their force.
Uh-huh.
And appease the wrath of him that made them.
So their job is to do what for Yahweh? What's this spirit's job was to do for Yahweh? Anybody can answer it? But we just got done read. This spirit that's the spirit of vengeance, his job is to do what? Appease the wrath. That's right, Molly. His job is to appease the wrath of him that made him. Mm-hmm. And how they do that in verse 29?
Verse 29 is fire, the hail.
Uh-huh.
Fire and hail.
Mm-hmm.
And famine.
That's famine.
Famine and death.
And death.
All these were created for vengeance.
Oh, so all these were created for vengeance. Verse 30.
Verse 30 reads, peace, O wild beasts.
Peace, O wild beasts.
And scorpions.
And scorpions.
Serpents.
Serpents.
And the sword.
And the sword.
Punishing the wicked to destruction.
And punishing the wicked to destruction. What they do in verse 31?
Verse 31 reads, they shall rejoice in his commandments.
They're going to rejoice in his commandments. And what?
And they shall be ready upon earth.
And they're going to be what way?
Ready.
They're going to be ready upon earth. For what?
When need is.
when the need was at that time right there, what?
They said, I'm going to be a lion spirit. And the knee was ready, wasn't it? Then we read that. Continue to read.
And when their time has come, they shall not transgress his word.
So they ain't going to do no transgression of the word when that time has come. Yahweh going to send him, he going to put a lion spirit up on you. And they going to be ready to do their job, and they ain't going to transgress his word. So that means they ain't going to transgress that law. They going to stay in their law to destroy you. Let me see. Mother, it's up to you, Mother. Let me get Mother. Let's see what he had to say in Exodus chapter 23. And give me verse 20 down to verse 22. And then, Mother Z. Give me, Isaiah. As she reads this, give me Isaiah 63. And give me verse 8 down to verse number 10. Give me Isaiah 63, verse 8 down to verse number 10. After mother bring me that Exodus 23, 20 down to 22. And we see where we go from there.
The book of Exodus, chapter 20. Verses 23. Yeah, Exodus chapter 23,
mm-hmm.
verse 20 to 22. Yes, ma'am. Verse 20. Behold, I send an angel
mm-hmm.
before thee to keep thee in the way
mm-hmm.
and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared.
So he goes, okay, so he goes, send an angel in the way to keep you in the way, which the way you have prepared. Verse 21.
Beware of him.
Beware of him.
And obey his voice.
That's right.
Provoke him not.
Now, what's now? Remember, he said, beware of him and obey his voice and provoke him not. Remember, he got something to say when he comes. What we can read in Acts chapter 7, Brother Titus. Give me fifty-one and 53. Elder, is that what I'm looking for?
Yes, sir.
Let me get Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53. Brother Titus, help me out right there. And hold the spot, Mother. Because remember, he said, beware of his angel, because he said, obey his voice.
Yes, sir.
So we know when his angel comes, where is it that's coming? That you need to obey.
Hallelujah.
In the book of Acts chapter 7, Brother Titus.
Yes, sir.
We want verse 51 and give us verse 53.
That's right.
What's his angel? What did he come to do?
The book of Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 7, verse 51 reads, you stiff-necked
mm-hmm.
and uncircumcised in the mind
mm-hmm.
and ear,
mm-hmm.
you do always resist the righteous spirit.
Mm-hmm.
As your father did, so do you.
So you always resist the righteous spirit, his angel.
Hallelujah.
As your father did, so do you. Verse 53. What is his angel?
Verse 53. To have received the law by dispositions of angels and have not kept it.
So this angel is the law. This angel is the law. And he just told you that you need what did he say, Mother? In Exodus chapter 20, 23, read that verse again about verse 21. He said, obey his voice, right?
That's right.
Beware of him and obey his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Provoke him not.
And don't provoke him not. And if you do, what
happens? But he will not pardon your transgressions.
He ain't gonna pardon your transgressions. Why?
But my name is in
him. And y'all, name is in this angel. So when this minister spirit, this law comes, he says, don't provoke none. Don't provoke him. Because my name is in him. And he ain't gonna pardon your transgressions. We just got done reading that he's going to send him as a lying spirit. Verse 22.
Verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice
mm-hmm.
and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemy
mm-hmm.
and an adversary unto thine adversary.
That's right. So Yahweh say, hey, don't provoke this angel because he is not going to pardon your transgression.
Let me slip one in there.
Hallelujah, what?
See how these master spirits
how they come to the plate here.
Mm-hmm.
So the Judah of Israel, let's look at Judges. Let's see how they talk.
Hallelujah.
On the scene. Judges chapter 2, verse number 1.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right.
Look at Judges 2, verse 1. Let's see how they what? They obey their voice.
Hallelujah. That's what he said.
See how they talk when they show up on the scene.
Judges chapter 2, verse 1.
Yes, ma'am.
And an angel of the Yahuwah came from
Gilgal
to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swore unto your fathers. Swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you.
You mean, there's an angel talking to talk. Yeah, with the angels, all y'all gotta do is push the recorder. Whatever's recorded, that's what they're gonna play.
That's right. You're gonna be looking at that too. We're gonna be looking at that. You know, that's a good point. We're on our way down that road too. Hallelujah. That's exactly on our way down that road. Hallelujah. Now, we're gonna come back to.
Mother D up Israel. Turn that light on. Whatever
you have,
turn the light on.
Let's go back to man, we coming up. Hallelujah, boy. We coming to you, Mother Z. Let's go to Isaiah 63. And let's pick it up at verse number 8 down to verse number 10. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 63, 8 down to verse number 10. And let's see what Yahuwah has to say about if he gets playing crazy with this angel and not doing what Yahuwah told you to do. Let's see how he operates. Remember, he told you to hear his voice. And we dealing with these spirits. They ready for the being supposed to be Yahuwah. They not going to transgress this word now.
Get down there and get me some. Everybody know that road. See,
And like I said, like Hale said, they got a recorder in their back. And all I do is hit that recorder, and whatever told them, that's what they going to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's pick it back up. Mother, who's that? Mother Jesus Reed?
Right.
Okay, you finished that. Yeah, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 63.
Isaiah chapter 63, verse 8 to 10.
Yes, ma'am.
Isaiah chapter 63, verse 8 to 10, verse 8.
Yeah, and Sister Judy, have me Jeremiah 21, verse 5 and 6. Wait on.
But he said, surely you are my people, children that will not lie.
Mm-hmm.
So he was thy Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the ministering spirit of his presence saved them in his love, and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bared them and carried them all the day of old.
Right, before we read verse number 10, let's deal with a couple of things.
Hold on, young man. I need to preach about that. Mother, back up and read what he says, children of Israel, they not what? You read a verse. Back up one verse. I need to preach about that. For the master. For the
what?
I need a precept. He said, these children, they going to do what?
You want to back up to 7?
Yeah, I want that verse again. Based on what he said, children of Israel would not do.
Verse 8.
What he said about these children.
Oh, you want verse 8. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 8. But he said, surely they are my people.
Yeah.
Children that will not lie.
You see, when you say these are children that won't do what?
Lie.
Now, give me a precept on that, mother. Let's run and look at. Okay, go ahead, Mother D.F. Israel. Go on, give me a precept, Mother D.F. Israel. Give me that verse 2 Samuel 7:19, Mother D.F. Israel. Mother D.F. Israel. Go ahead
and
bring out that Mother
D.F. Israel. 2 Samuel.
Mm-hmm. 7, verse 19. You said these children of Israel, they ain't going to do no lying. Let's find out what's going on in 2 Samuel 7:19 on that.
Yeah, what?
2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 19. And this was yet a small thing in the sight, O Yahweh, but thou hast spoken also of your servant's family for a great while to come.
So otherwise, these children, they're the biggest lies in town now, but that prophecy is for what time, mother?
For a great while to come.
That's why I passed up. So he's the lion of the children of Israel, he is going to take.
That's right.
So we know that prophecy is a long way from being fulfilled. They get up on a black man and white man, Jesus. So they are the lion of the children of Israel. All right, that's my mother back to the young wife.
Let me
get one on that.
Hallelujah.
Their tongue.
Hallelujah.
Come on back there, young man.
All right, Mother Z. Come on back and let's pick that back up. Where we left off at. Let's pick it up at verse number. Matter of fact, let's deal with something real quick. That's what I want to do. Let's deal with this presence. Who is this verse number 9?
Hallelujah.
Who is that referring to about when he says in Isaiah 63 verse 9, he says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. Who is this angel of his presence? Who is the one he's referring to
that we can read?
Hallelujah. Yeah, we want to find out who is the angel of his presence that we can read. Let's precept our Bible. Remember, through our precepts, we get what?
What is the name?
give some of the dead ass.
There you go.
Play they meditate.
I got one.
You got the prayer?
Luke chapter 1, verse 19.
Hallelujah. All right. That's what you're talking about.
Hallelujah.
That's all we want. We just want to know who sits in the presence of Yahweh.
And I got a precept on that.
But unto him that blasphemeth against the righteous spirit,
shall not be forgiven.
Because we come to find out that you're speaking against, what is the righteous spirit? We can read again what he's referring to. In a book of, matter of fact, let me have a, I see how it comes out of the way with this. But first, Sister Judith, give me that Acts. Let's go back again. Let's read Acts chapter 7. Give me 51 and 53. And it's something I'm looking for. Elder, help me out here. One tittle. Is it 7? Matthew 7?
Matthew 5.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, that's what we need. Sister Judith, remember he said you're speaking against this Holy Spirit. It should not be forgiving you. Why? Because what's going on? And then Mother D.F. Israel. Let me get Matthew chapter 5. And pick up at verse 17 down to verse 19.
Okay.
After Sister Judith get done reading Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53 again. We want to read that one more time to remind the national audience that if you speak against this righteous spirit, this angel, it's not going to be forgiven you because what are you saying? Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53 again.
Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53. Verse 51 reads, "You, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as the fathers did, so do ye."
Continue to read. So you always resisted the law, where this Holy Ghost, it says right here.
Yeah.
What's this Holy Ghost we can read in verse 53?
Verse 53 reads, "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it."
So when you speak against or blaspheme the Holy Ghost or the angel, you blaspheme the law. That's what you blaspheme. He says, not going to be forgiving you. So what do you say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 down to verse 19, Mother D.F. Israel?
Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, verse 17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the seal. I am not come. I am not come to destroy, but I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Verse 18. "For truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Verse 19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven."
So the ministering spirit is going to make sure that he's the law. So if he's the law and you come and you start teaching man against the law, we already know we've been reading that the ministering spirit will go upstairs to he and he's going to destroy you. So if you start teaching man against the law, he's not going to pardon your transgression. He's going to destroy you. So once you start speaking against that law, you already know what your sentence is already written in stone. It's a death sentence on you. So he's not going to pardon your transgressions. We've been reading that, haven't we?
Not in this world, but the world. Come
on, the world. Hallelujah, boy. So he's not going to pardon. Don't blaspheme against the law.
Yeah.
Let's go back now. Now we coming to you, Sister Judah. Let's go see what he has to say in Jeremiah 21, verse 5 and 6. and then we go see how this goes, because sometimes I want to pull out. I got a few more, y'all. I'm gonna hand it over to brother. What you got for me, sister? Baby, man, you gotta have a hit now.
This is about the
blasphemy,
right?
I need a hit. Blasphemy against who? Bring that on out. You got a precept to it? Bring it on out.
Mark chapter 3. Start at 24.
You start at 24? Where we going?
Yeah.
Well, bring it on
Mark
out.
Mark chapter 29.
Okay, come on, sister and babe. You said Mark chapter 3?
Yeah.
Call your verse out.
Okay. Mark chapter 3, I'll start at 22 to 30. Verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem, saluted for Yahshua Judah, said, he have Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils cast he out devils. Verse 23. And he said, and he called unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? 24. And if the kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Verse 25. And if the house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Verse 26. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but have an end. Verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemers wherewith soever they shall blaspheme.
29.
But he that shall blaspheme the Holy Ghost have never forgiven. But is in danger of eternal damnation.
So if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, the law, you never have
forgiveness.
You never have no forgiveness, and you're going to have to turn to what?
Eternal damnation.
So you're in danger of eternal damnation.
Yeah.
So you can't pass for me against the law. And your forgiveness is over. You don't put yourself out the window. You might as well, what that birthday was, tell me on my channel, the middle song. Well, help me out, Brother Titus. I need some help. That's much on the curve, right? I think that should hit.
That is a millstone.
That's right.
He's casting.
Yeah, bring it all out. That's right. Where we can read that at? If you blaspheming against the law, and he said something, was that Matthew? Matthew 18? All right.
Yeah, 18.
Matthew chapter 18, verse number 6. Now you blaspheme against the law. I just need that last line. I need them last 1, 2, 3 lines. Yeah, it is better. Where it started, it was better.
Okay. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6.
Yeah, where it says, it was better.
And the third line, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
So you blaspheme against this law, and trying to teach people, the pastors, the shepherds, the deacons, the bishops, and the pope, that you don't have to keep no law. blasphemed against the law. And he said it's better for you to have a millstone hanging about your neck and that you would drown in the depth of the sea.
Yeah.
It's better for you to do that than blasphemed against that law. So now let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 5 and verse 6, Sister Judith. We have worked our way all the way there.
I have one for that millstone.
All right, what you got for me, Sister Judith?
Luke 17, verse 2.
All right. I just need you. I need right where the millstone at. Give me one on the millstone. Right when it hit it, I need to hit on it.
Luke 17, verse 2 is, it were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And he cast into the sea, then that he should offend one of these little ones.
That's right. It's better for you to offend this law. You offend this law, that's very offensive. And that's a good precept, Sister Judith. Hallelujah, that work. There's a midnight day or going on over there, huh, man?
What is that verse in Sirach the Elder where it says, they got to be well instructed? Can you bring that verse up with Overseer?
Hallelujah,
that's pretty good what I'm getting. I know what I'm getting, son. So that means some work got to be done. You have to get the better half well instructed. So let's see can we maybe we're gonna tie that in the book of Sirach 37, verse 26. After we find out, see this is the key, that's what we gotta watch. Remember, school, the banquet hall, radio station, all of that is on the way. But some things we gotta do along the way to get before we get there. So this is one thing we gotta do. We got to make sure that we line up with this verse in Sirach that they are looking for the national audience about being well instructed. Who got to be well instructed?
26:14.
Yep. So bring that out, A-Bill. Hey, bring that out, A-Bill. Put the microphone on that. Yeah, put a little microphone on that.
This is
what we got to be looking for in advance. And y'all probably going to kick it. He going to take them there if we see this with the precept in 7 verse 26. That A-Bib is going to go back to back with him after we kick it as we're in 26:14.
Is that Sirach 26:14?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sirach 26. Verse 14, a silent and loving woman is a gift of Yahuwah, and there is nothing so much worthy as a mind well instructed.
What kind of way?
A mind well instructed.
And they got to be, what make them good and lovely?
Well instructed.
No, well instructed.
Good and lovely.
A silent and loving
woman. Say it again, that Mount G up there, man.
Well instructed.
They got to be well instructed. Well instructed. That's a game changer, right there. That when you're working with somebody, when they, what kind of way again, Mother D.F. Israel?
Well instructed.
Well instructed. That's what's going on. Now, precept that. Come on, A.B., give me that up, 37:12. So this is how you be well instructed right here.
Hallelujah.
This is how you be well instructed right here in 37:12.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, let's read. Let's read first. 37:12. This is how you be well instructed. I mean 7:26, I'm sorry. 7:26.
Where we at now?
7:26. Then we can find out what makes you be well instructed. Then you can read that 37:12. So now you got 7:26 to line up how to be well instructed. This is the first step in 7:26. kingdom, go back to Zechariah 37:12, and this is how you get well instructed.
Zechariah chapter 7, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
Has you a wife after your mind?
Read again.
Mm-hmm. Has you a wife after your mind? Forsake her not, but give not yourself over to a light woman.
Mm-hmm. Right, a light woman is the world woman, the woman that put all the time in the mirror. And how do I look for I go out? You know, that's what you say. So, read that again.
Sirach chapter 7, verse 26.
Mm-hmm. What does it say?
Has you a wife after your mind?
So that's the question he asked. The question he said, if you're going to get a better half, she got to be what kind of way?
A wife after your mind.
She got to be after your mind.
Yeah, well.
She got to be after your mind. That's how you will instruct her. She after your mind. Her best interest is after your mind.
Mm.
So now go to 37 verse 12.
Sirach chapter 37. Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
But be continually with a Yahwali man.
Oh! The key to it is to be after thy mind. You got to have what kind of man you got to have.
Continually with a Yahwali man.
And let's see how he wrote.
Whom you know to keep the Torah.
He can't talk a good game on Torah. He got to be doing a good game. You know he's doing.
Whose mind is according to your mind?
And what's that again?
Whose mind is according to your mind?
Oh, that's the key right there. So remember, we got to sacrifice ourselves for those that come to make sure we help those that come after us to show them what makes a Yahwali relationship. This is Jesus said, got to be done. This man must be a Yahwali man that you know that keep the law. You got to know he keep the law. Not in flying by and next thing you know in flying by. You got to know he keeping the law. Now, if you know he keeping the law, then that's step one. Step two, then your mind got to be after his mind. That's step two. And then once your mind after his mind, that means you're going to be what? 26:14, one more time, back to the young line. Then you'll be what?
Sirach chapter 26, verse 14.
What does it say?
A silent and loving woman is a gift of Yahweh.
Oh, okay.
And there is nothing so much worth as a mind well instructed.
Well instructed. Right. Exactly right.
Hallelujah.
So you catch them out there with a great big old mouth and you hear them around the corner coming, then you already know, go the other direction. That's simple as that. You just start going the other way. See, once they're instructed, soon they say, man, you see that old Coco going by around the corner and you can hear it before you see him, just turn it around and keep going the other direction. That's all you got
to do.
Then you line with the Bible.
That's right.
You can't. Don't do the 7:24. What is that? A, B, or B? St. John 7:24. Never do a relationship based upon St. John 7:24. What it says we can read, A, B, or C. Never do a relationship based upon St. John 7:24.
John chapter 7, verse 24. Just not according to the appearance.
You see that? Oh, I got to have. Well, man, did you see her?
But judge righteous judgment.
Man, but that woman right there, you know what she be doing? In a couple of hours, she'll be on it. She'll be swinging on the pole in a couple of hours. On the pole there. See that? And you want to know why you got a headache, huh? You got your pole down. That's why you got a headache. Back to the young line.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now let's it's on you, Sister Judith. I don't know, Brother Joe, man. He said, you know, I go to the pole dancing place, and I just go out and I got to have up. I said, man, the woman's the pole. She
get you, go get a couple hundred dollars singers, right? Oh, and you just, they try to rope the pole, you throw them singers at them. Keep throwing them singers. I got to have that.
Yeah. All right,
enough of that.
That's
the young
line. Now, Sister Judith, let's go back. Let's find out a little bit more about these angels, and let's pick it up at Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. And then, Brother Titus, I want you to give me a precept on Psalm 78, verse 49 down to 50.
Hallelujah.
And then, you see where we go from there. Matter of fact, Sister, they did. I want you to pick it up at 2 Samuel chapter 24. Pick it up at verse 15 down. Read. We're going to read that until we get our point from that. There's some good old, some hits on up in there. So let's take off when you're ready, Sister Jude. Make sure everybody gets there. I'm going to go over it one more time. Make sure everybody got it written down. Right now, you're going to Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 5 and 6, Sister Jude.
Jeremiah chapter.
Hold on. 1 second. I'm going to make sure everybody got it. You want Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. Since they did, you giving me,
No,
Brother Titus gave me Psalm 78, verse 49 down to 6. Then you, since they did, if you're going to pick it up at 2 Samuel 24, you're going to start at verse 15. All right, let's go, Sister Judith. You on the clock.
Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 5 and 6.
Yes,
ma'am. Verse 5 reads, "And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath."
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6 reads, "And I will smite the inhabitants of this city,
mm-hmm.
both man and beast."
That's right.
"They shall die of a great," what's that, pestilence.
That's right. So what is this pestilence that he's talking about that he's going to fight against us with? What is this pestilence he's going to fight against the children of Israel with? Now let's go read the precept. If our precepts, we get understanding, right? So now we're going to, let me cover my mic on, make sure everybody hear me. Now we're going to read, now what's this pestilence that he's referring to in verse number 6 here? He said they should die of a great pestilence. All right, let's find out about this pestilence. Let's read it, Brother Titus Israel C. Roy, Travi Yadda Judah.
Brother Psalm chapter 78.
Matter of fact, hold on. Now, Brother Titus, Mother D.F. Israel. Yeah, we're going to let Mother D.F. Israel read that. Mother D.F. Israel.
Yeah.
Pick that up for us, Mother D.F. Israel.
Can you repeat it?
We're going to Psalm chapter 78, verse 49 and verse 50. Psalms 78, verse 49 and verse 50.
Psalm 78, verse 49 and 50.
Yes, ma'am.
And it reads, "He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble,
mm-hmm.
by sending evil angels among them." Verse 50.
Mm-hmm.
"He made a way to his anger. He spared not their souls from death, but gave their lives over to the pestilence."
So, what we can read? What is this pestilence?
I got something, Mother D.F. Israel. I got something. First Chronicles 21, Mother. Let's see, can we even kind of close the gap even closer? Think of it. What David said when Yahweh said something to him. Around by verse number 12 down to verse 15. We're gonna get David's on exactly what it is. We're gonna tell us what it is twice. What this testament is.
Hallelujah.
We're going to 1 Samuel 21. I mean Chronicles 21, pick up verse 12.
First Chronicles 21, verse 12.
This is Yahweh. By the fear. Gad the fear. Sent by Yahweh to bargain with David, to plead with him. Verse 12 to 15, come on.
First Chronicles 21, verse 12 to 15. Out of 3 years, famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before your foes, while that the sword of thy enemy overtake you, or else 3 days, the sword of Yahweh, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of Yahweh destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now, therefore, advise yourself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. 17. And David.
Even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of Yahweh is throwing throughout all the coast of Israel. These are now, how you want to roll, David? Let's see what David responds to in 13. Come on, mother.
13. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of Yahweh, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. 14.
Okay, good. So Yahweh, it got down. Now let's see Yahweh get busy. 14.
14. So Yahweh sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell Israel.
Hey, Mom, what did he say?
Pestilence.
Okay, what happened next?
Upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Verse 15.
Okay, now watch this. 15. There go your game change in 15.
And Yahweh said,
15 and
18. Huh?
15 and 18. Here go your game change in 15 and 18.
Verse 15. And Yahweh said, and Yahweh sent an angel unto Israel to destroy. And as he was destroying, Yahweh beheld, and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now. Thy hand. Verse 18. Then the angel of Yahweh commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto Yahweh in the threshing floor.
Angel of Yahweh commanded Gad. The angel. So the angel. So this angel is that great big pestilence.
Mm-hmm.
No, Yahweh is the angel.
Yeah.
So the angel is this pestilence that done this. And he really killed them all. But they had to tell him, hold on, man, that's enough killing. Remember, they going all the way. They treat everything like it's a lad. He done killed 70,000. He really killed them all. Yahweh is telling him, that's enough killing. I think he got this picture.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's how Yahweh wrote. And one thing about Yahweh's service, remember we read over there in that Sirach, he said, and you will be satisfied when I get you. They don't play. That's not the same thing we got to do. To come down this word, we got to take no privilege. We're going to get all the blessings we can get the way they got their blessings.
That's right.
Back in the online.
Hallelujah. Let's get a precept on that now. So now we know what when Yahweh talk about these angels, and we go see the class and pull it. We'll go to 7:91 and see how the class will answer this question.
Hallelujah.
And get understanding how this go. But before we go there, we'll get one more precept on that. We're going to touch on a few more. Then I'm going to hand it over to Brother Titus. Okay, let's go to 2 Samuel now. Sister 8B. Pick it up at verse number 11. And read down until we get our point. Actually, I might want to get the scripture with these names. How you crush or something. You know, they do give you a little description on it. But we just go read down and get to our point right there. Let's read verse number 11. Pick it up at 2 Samuel chapter 24, starting at verse number 11. We're going to read down to our point.
2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 11.
Yes, ma'am.
For when David was up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
the word of Yahweh came unto the seer, Gad, David's seer, saying, verse 12, go and say unto David, thus saith Yahweh, I offer you three things.
Three things. You got done reading that.
Choose you one of them.
Choose one of them.
That I may do it unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him,
what's the three things?
Shall 7 years of famine come unto you?
You want 7 years of famine? That means y'all gonna go hungry. Mm-hmm.
Shall 7 years of famine come unto you in the land?
Mm-hmm. That means you go hungry. That means all of your livestock and everything. Go hungry too.
Or will you flee 3 months before your enemies?
That'll make you flee from your enemies for 3 months.
While they pursue you.
And they'll be chasing after you, David, the children of Israel.
Or that there be 3 days pestilence in your land.
Or you can take 3 days pestilence in your land.
Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me.
Now, give me an answer, David, because Yahweh want to answer.
Verse 14. David said unto Gad,
what did he say?
And I am a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of Yahweh.
And when he said he want to fall into the hand of Yahweh, what are you asking him to do?
For his mercies are great.
Mm-hmm.
And let me not fall into the hands of man.
He want to fall into man's hands.
Verse 15. So Yahweh sent a pestilence upon Israel.
So here come the pestilence. We know what the pestilence is. Let's get our second witness. Our third witness.
From the morning eve to the time appointed.
Uh-huh. The pestilence was up on Israel for how long? How many days he said earlier?
Three.
3 days. From what time? From the morning what?
To the evening.
Uh-huh. And let's continue to read.
And there died of the people from Dan, even to Bathsheba,
mm-hmm.
70,000 men.
70,000 of the children of Israel died from his pestilence. And what was his pestilence? Continue to read.
An angel.
And when the angel answered, when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem.
So when he stretched to an angel, the ministering spirit stretched upon his hand. Remember, the ministering spirit of vengeance,
mm-hmm.
he stretched upon his hand on Yahdah Judah.
Yes.
Can you read?
To destroy him.
To destroy who?
To destroy Yahdah Judah.
He destroyed from Yahdah Judah.
Yahweh repented him of the evil.
So what is this? What is this precept referring to?
Yahdah.
Yeah, but he was in. Read that up again. He said, when the angel did what? Read that whole verse again.
Okay. 2 Samuel.
That was Israel.
And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Yahdah Judah.
Mm-hmm. That's Jerusalem. Right. Saluted away from Jerusalem. The angel stretched upon his hand right there on Yahdah Judah.
That was Israel then. That was Israel then.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, because verse 15 says Israel.
Right now though, he's saying that, look, let's go back up and read. Now we know he scratched him out. He gives 70,000. He said, what him?
That was Israel.
He was all the way in trash.
That's right.
So right now, he's striking on, he's striking y'all out, right?
He said he hid him from Bathsheba to where?
Dan.
To Dan, right?
Dan to Bathsheba. They was all Israel then.
It was all Israel.
Yeah.
That was all Israel. But right now, this ministry spirit, where he at right now?
He's in Jerusalem.
He in Yahweh Judah. What are you about to do with Yahweh Judah? What do you say he's going to do?
Destroy it.
He's going to destroy Yahweh Judah. What happened when he was getting ready to destroy Yahweh Judah? He said what?
Yahweh repented him of the evil.
He repented him of the evil.
And said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough.
It is enough. Stay now. The hand is going to come on Yahweh Judah. Man, he just crushed from, what is that? What did he say? From Dan to Beersheba.
Yes.
70,000 men.
Right.
Verse 16. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Yahweh Judah to destroy it.
Yes.
Yahweh repented him of the evil. And now he's going to hit Yahweh
Judah. Yes.
He's going to get crushed that head now.
Right.
But he stopped him.
It is enough. Stay now in your hand. And the angel of Yahweh was by the threshing place of Arana, the Jebusite. Verse 17. And David spake unto Yahweh when he saw the angel that
smote the people
and said,
Lo,
I have sinned,
and
I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray you, be against me and against my father's house.
Now, stop right there. If I'm wrong, they ought to, I stand to be corrected for what I'm reading. But we got to make sure we don't want to forward. Did he not hold his hand when he said he hit God too?
That's what the book said.
That's what the book said. He said he destroyed, he didn't say where, how far he destroyed from to where. Then when he figured he strike God too, in the land that this polluted word is Jerusalem, we know that God too. He said, hold on now. So then he told that ministry, that's enough.
Yes, right.
And ministry spirit, remember, they not going to transgress the word of Yahweh.
That's right.
So he stopped right there and it up.
Yes, right.
And so that's what it was. That was it right there. He said, no more.
Yes.
70,000 is dead. That's the end of it. No more numbers came after that. If it was, we'd have been agreed.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Well, let me get a precept showing you that Yahweh, he didn't do no sweating behind sending a pestilence. And he sent, how many pestilence can we recall he sent through that killing? Can anybody answer that question or what we just got to read? How many pestilence did he send to do that killing of them 70,000? Can anybody recall? We just got to read now. He sent.
He
sent what? He sent pestilence, right?
Yeah.
How many did he send? According to the verses you just got to read.
I need an answer.
How many did he send?
You one of them.
Three.
He said what?
Three or one.
No, I ain't
trying. I asked the question. You say he sent pestilence.
Right.
How many pestilence did he send to take care of 70,000?
He sent one. Verse 15.
Excellent. He sent one.
Yes.
So one big angel was a
pestilence.
Now give me a break up in 37 chapter there.
One big old angel.
Let me show you. See, Yahweh don't have to send a whole arm to do nothing.
Right.
But he sent one to do that. He was whooping their tail like he was like 3 million.
Big old angel.
He was whooping their tail good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that was the evil angel. So remember, the evil and the good, they all work for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to 37th chapter, A.B.F.B. Now, there was some things going on. There was a lot of bragging going on. Hey, A.B.F.B. A whole lot of bragging was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this big king, he had his mouth going real good.
Right.
And his servant had his mouth going. Now Yahweh get ready to respond to him with all that great big old talk. Verse 34. Now pick the verse 33 make it sound good. 33 down to verse 36. Isaiah 37. Now Yahweh heard a whole lot of great big mouth talking. So now Yahweh give him a response through the mouth of his seer. He's going to tell the seer something to tell old Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah said, I walk perfectly in your sight, didn't he?
Yeah.
So Hezekiah needed him now. So you can't, if you walk perfectly in your sight. So look here. So Hezekiah needed him. He said, Yahweh, I kept the law. I wore my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you're a tight now, ain't you?
Mm-hmm.
Hezekiah, yeah. Let's see what's going on in verse 33.
Therefore, thus said Yahweh concerning the king of Assyria,
yes.
He shall not come into this city.
He's not coming into this city.
Nor shoot an arrow there.
Right.
Nor come before it with shields.
Okay.
Nor cast a bank against it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 34.
Let's see what happened now. 34.
34. By the way that he came.
By the way he came.
By the same shall he return.
And the same way he came, that's how he's going to return. Go ahead.
And shall not come into this city.
He ain't coming into this city. Go ahead.
Says Yahweh.
Oh, say who?
Yahweh.
Wait.
Verse 35. For I will defend this city to save it.
I'm going to defend this city to save it.
For mine own sake.
Yeah.
And for my servant David's sake.
Now here we go. Now here comes the best one.
Verse 36. Then the angel of Yahweh went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000.
Now, how many were that? 185,000. How many pestilence went?
One.
So this one killed 185,000. Go ahead.
And when they arose early in the morning, and they were all dead.
And they were all caught. Dead caught. So when you're on the right side of Yahweh, and Yahweh can deliver you, so there ain't no mountain high enough he can't take care of it. He sent one angel, and that one angel killed 185,000 sons of Ham. And when that morning came, they were all dead caught. And so Napa River, he had then was Napa River, he broke him, went back on the enemy, and he had his son standing there with a sword, ducking while he was trying to pray to his false Yahweh. Yeah? Mm. That's how Yahweh rolled when you got him right.
Yes.
See, when you got him right,
that's
the game changer. Mm-hmm. You got him right. He made his own son stick the sticky right in his back when he was trying to pray to that paganism and kill him. See, he didn't get away. The army got destroyed, and he got destroyed too. See, that's how this man rule. That's why I said we got the power if we get in order.
Mm-hmm.
Bible order. Back to the young lions. Come on.
All right. What you got for us, Dr. Bill?
I just want to add chapter 38, verse 2 and 3. Where it says, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto Yahweh. He said, remember now, O Yahweh, I beseech you to walk before you and be with a perfect mind and have done that which is good.
How can you walk before him in truth? How can you walk before him in truth that we can read? How can you walk deliver that? How do you walk before Yahweh?
Back up with Mother Z
and 14:36. Have that waiting on me in St. John. So let's talk about this truth. Remember, the precept is the truth. 1:1, 2:3, A, B, or B, and 14.
John 1:1, you said.
1:1, down to 3, and 14. Let's find out a little bit more about this. The word is true. That we heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
The word is true.
John 1:1, verse 3.
1, 2, and 3, and 14.
John 1:1-3 and 14. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with Yahweh. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14.
3.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everybody heard that? Okay, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his greatness, the greatness as the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth.
Mm-hmm. So this word was made what?
His word was made.
According to verse 14.
Oh, okay. His word was made flesh.
Now read 14 again.
You said 14.
Okay. Yeah, read again.
And the word was made flesh.
And the word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. So he is the Word, and the Word was made flesh.
Yes.
So now, does anybody get suspicious about who the Word is? The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? From the 19th chapter, verse 11 and 12, A.D. of Peter's Revelation. What are we going to do with that? We're going to remember chapter 19, 11, 12. The Word was made flesh, A, B, or B. And when we turn you loose, if you can get past the elders and the teachers around here, we know when you out there, we know you deliver and knock out blow. Because our job is to meet you where you're at and correct what you're on. And perhaps you take the correction as a blessing. Because you're going to be out there one day, and if you ain't saying the right thing, we read about it earlier in last night's lesson. If you find out you're not saying the right thing, Yahweh's going to do some damage to you if you ain't saying the right thing. And that's in last night's lesson. So you got to make sure this thing, this election is sure. So when we track you on something, it gets you prepared. What you say, you got to make sure you're ready. 19, 11 and 12 says what?
Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open.
Yeah.
And behold, a white horse.
Yeah.
And he that sat upon it was called Faithful.
He was called what?
Faithful and True.
He was called Faithful and who?
True.
Very.
And in righteousness he doeth judge.
He judged?
He judged and made
war. And he made war. Go ahead.
Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire.
Yeah.
And on his head were many crowns.
Yeah.
And he had a name written that no man knew.
Uh-huh.
But he himself.
Go ahead.
Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood.
Okay, here we go.
And his name was called the Word of Yahweh.
His name was called the Word of Yahweh. So he is the Word of Yahweh. He is the Word of Yahweh the Father. Matthew 17:5.
Yeah.
Yep, Israel. What happened in 17:5? About this word doing the
Matthew 17:5. Matthew 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him."
So don't worry about whatever what your father says up to him. He said, no. That's Christianity. You hear him. You hear him. You hear my boy all the way, because he's going to judge and make war. He heeds my words. Now, where that 14, take that. Who got that? What's it, that's your mother's name?
St. John. Chapter 14:6.
What does it say?
Yahweh said unto him.
Now Yahweh said to him, what, mother?
I am the way.
So I'm the way.
The truth.
I'm the who?
The truth.
I'm the truth. So who the truth is, mother?
Yahweh the Son.
So that's it. That's the end of it. That's who the truth is. He's on the way and on the truth. So that's the end of it. You hear my boy. He the way and he the truth. Back to the young mind, Brother Tyson.
All right. That's what I'm doing with you. All right. All right.
That was the young one. All right,
Sister Judy. That was the young one. Okay. Give me Psalm 119:142.
Well, you can set the seat already prepared for you. That big Bible sitting right there. I already thought of it. Shepherd of the sheep, right?
All right, let's precept that. Oh, what you got, Sister Phoebe up here, Princess Rail, Sister Judah. Let's go to Matthew real quick. He says the great shepherd of the sheep. What sheep is this he talking about? What's this great shepherd of the sheep? Real quick. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to book of Matthew real quick. See what I want. What's that? Matthew 15:24. Matthew 15:24. Sister Judah Israel, see what? Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. He says, great shepherd of the sheep. Make it plain, Matthew 15:24.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 24 reads, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yahweh said he was not sent for the lost sheep of the family of Israel. That's who he was sent to. He wasn't sent for everybody. All right. Let's get another hit on that real quick. All right, let me get another hit on that sheep real quick. Let's see what I want. It says Jeremiah 15:7. Let's see if that's it.
Jeremiah 14:17.
Hallelujah. All right, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 17. Sister Phoebe up there, Prince Israel. D. Roy, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 17. Yeah, we just gonna read that first line. That's all I want out there. They got to read the whole verse.
Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 17. Israel is scattered, the scattered sheep.
Oh, hold on, read that, read it carefully.
Israel is a scattered sheep.
Israel is a scattered sheep.
Yeah.
So he's the sheep right here, so Israel is a sheep that's scattered. That's scattered. Alright, so let's get that Deuteronomy real quick. See all what you got. Let's do this, coming back. You sure you don't know? Alright. Let's go to Deuteronomy real quick. Alright, let's go to Book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Pick up at the verse 1 to the Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Then I want you to skip down. Verse 64, real quick.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and verse 64. For your reason, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day. That the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
Yes, Lord Jesus, you observe all the commandments of the law. Again, it puts you in a high position.
If you do the what?
If you do what?
Do the law.
Get down to verse 15. This is the courtesy of Messiah in verse 64.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 reads, up the task. If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Amen. If you don't listen, you will have these curses.
What you got in your bag?
What you got?
Thou nor thy fathers, nor thy fathers have known even who are the sons.
Okay, this wood goes to Christianity, Judaism, and the stone goes back to, we just said it earlier, Islam, Ishmael, the Arabian people, what they got on the table. The Quran book, he said he was going to scatter you. Right? Okay. Now, you sure you want to hold another sister to do this? Oh, yeah, the Hebrew, yeah, the book of Israelites. Oh, yeah, about that covenant. Because he said blood, but she didn't bring out. Okay. All right. Okay, back to you, Sister Phoebe, up here for this real C-Rex.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, she got some.
Y'all lie in the bathroom.
Hebrews 13.
All right. We'll go to Israelites. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 20 reads, now, the Yahuwah of peace, the brought again from the dead, our Yahuwah the Son, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
That's right. So this blood is this everlasting covenant. This covenant, this everlasting covenant. That's what this blood is, this everlasting covenant. All right.
And give me a precept on that in 7:22. Hebrews.
Hallelujah. Alright. We're going to the book of Hebrews, Bloomberg, for the Israelites, chapter 7. You said verse 22?
Yeah.
Okay, the book of Israelites, chapter 7, verse 22. By so much was Yahweh the Son made a surety. Yes, sir.
All right, what it say?
First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to verse 20. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 reads, "Well, know ye not that your body is the temple of the righteous spirit, which is in you, which you have of Yahweh, and you are not your own." Verse 20. "For you are bought with a price."
Bought with what?
With a price.
Yes.
"Therefore, glorify Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh."
Right. So now, you remember A.B. read a verse that when you walk, you're walking into, you got to walk into his laws, right? That's the walking somebody wants you, right?
That's right.
All right. So now, if we read this verse right here, Mother E, we should be clear of exactly what's going on without being, you know, all over the place. We're going to Genesis chapter 5, verse 26. And that's what it says.
You know what?
In 5:24. Okay. What do it say we can read? Mother?
Look at Genesis chapter 5:24.
Yeah. Now, and when we hear it, let's see what kind of answer we'll get if we hear something like this right here.
Look at Genesis chapter 5:24. "And Enoch walked with Yahweh, and he was not, but Yahweh took him."
So what does that mean, Moses? A, B, and B? What does that mean? What does verse 24 mean? Now, we can read. What does verse 5:24 mean? What do you mean by this happened?
I'm not here. I don't know.
Okay. 5:24. What does this mean? Anybody want to tell? Who wants to take a shot at this? But he's not dead. Crooked. It says in 5:24, Enoch walked with Yahweh. So what does that mean? The same thing you read over there in 2 John 1:6. That means he kept the law. Yes, all that means. That means the law was way back here. The law didn't start with Moses.
Right.
So that means the law was way back here in Enoch's day.
Yeah,
Enoch walked with Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Meaning he kept the law of Yahweh. He obeyed the law. So the law didn't start with Moses. It started way back here in the beginning, even with Adam.
The law. That's the law.
There. Enoch walked with Yahweh, meaning he kept the laws of Yahweh. When you precept that first John 2:1-6, you read where you walk in, this is love when you walk into the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Enoch got, Yahweh got great love for him because he walked into the law. And that's why he took him to but I ain't going to get off until we take it back to your line.
That's why. That's why you walk in that law. You gotta walk in that life, which is that law. Hey, Sister Julie. Give me that John, regular book, John. Chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Give me John, regular book, chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Yes, ma'am.
John chapter 12, verses 5 and 36.
Verse 35.
Verse
35 and 36.
Verse 35 and 36. 35 reads, "Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, Yea, a little while is a night with you, walk while you have the light. Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goes.
Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. He said, yet a little while is the light with you. What kind of light is this that we can read? What light is this he's talking about? He's talking about like a light bulb, like you see right here, that's standing in front of me. What kind of light is this? Let's go to Corinthians real quick. Let's see what kind of light that you want to be walking in. Let's go to Corinthians real quick. Let me get there real quick. We're going to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6. This is what you want to be walking in.
That's right,
John. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6. Mother Z. Israel, C. Roy. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6.
Back to A, B, of Phoebe in the 15th chapter of Sirach, 15, 1, 2, and 3. A, B, of Phoebe.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Chapter 4, verse what, Brother Titus?
Verse 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6.
2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6. For Yahweh who turned instruction.
Let's read it like it is. We had to find the Lord. Let's read it like it is.
For Yahweh who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our mind to give the light of knowledge of honor.
Let's read it like it is.
Glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahweh the Son.
All right. So what's this lighting you gotta be walking in?
The light of knowledge of Yahweh.
All right. Sister Phoebe up here in Prince Israel. Sirach chapter 15, verse 1 and 3. Sirach chapter 15, verse 1 to 3.
Sirach chapter 15, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1. He that feareth Yahweh will do good.
He or she that feareth Yahweh will do good. Mm. And what is the definition of good?
Doing good.
Doing good. What's that supposed to mean?
That we can read.
That we can read.
That do good. How you do good, we can read.
You hear Christian. Let's get to the point. Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and 16. Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and verse 16. All right, Sister Julia, go ahead and bring that out. Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and 16.
Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and 16. Verse 12 reads, therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Verse 16 reads, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good, that it is good.
That's the definition of good, the law. Okay, now we read it here, it says, he that fears Yahweh will do good. And how you fear Yahweh, let's go to Psalms real quick. If you fear Yahweh, what would you have? Psalms 111, verse 10, and Mother Z, back up at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10.
Psalms 111. chapter 111, verse 10 reads, "The fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endure forever."
All right. We got that Proverbs chapter 9. We read that Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10.
The fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the righteous is unstable.
Let me get that. Just to make sure you want to bring this out real good. You had Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, right?
Right.
Okay, let me get that. Okay, you had verse 10. Okay, read that again real quick.
Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, The fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the righteous is understanding.
That's right. That's right. That's the fear. Okay. It says the knowledge of the righteous is understanding. Now, how do we get understanding? How do we get understanding? We went over it earlier. How do we get understanding? Through this book. It should be in your notes. How do we get understanding? I'll give the book and go from there. It's in Book of Psalms. All right, Sister Phoebe. It's in the Book of Psalms. Go from there. How we get understanding? All right, this is just quiet. Let's go to Psalms to the deep. Give me Psalms 119, verse 4 and 104. Psalms 119, verse 4, and 104.
Psalms chapter 119, verse 4, and 104. Verse 4. You have commanded us to keep the precept diligently.
There's an order to keep the precept diligently. Lord, go ahead.
Verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way.
All right. Okay, give me that verse 69 real quick. Verse
69. No, I gotta have to make sure I got some work with you.
Psalms 119:69.
The proud have. Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah, that's it. Go ahead. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I keep your precepts with my whole mind.
And that's what we do. You gotta keep it with your what? Whole mind. He said, with your whole mind. That's it. All right. If you don't do this here, Sister Phoebe, give me the book of Daniel real quick. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter
9, verse 5. Daniel chapter 9, verse 5.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, sin, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments.
See that? If you depart from the deep away from the precepts, walking in sin. And we know the definition of sin is 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 and verse 8. So if you don't know, if you sin, if you don't precept them. All right, so we touched on this light real quick. All right, you was reading what, to Judas? John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. All right, Sister Judy, give me that Ecclesiastes real quick.